Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Okay, one last word about this miracle with the fig tree. There's some loose ends we need to wrap up, and there's just some things I need to say about this miracle. In the context, we're in Mark 11, and Jesus and his disciples are on their way back to Jerusalem. They just spent the night in the suburbs in Bethany, and Jesus has examined the temple the night before. Now they're on their way back. This is right before Jesus ransacks the temple, and on the way, much to the chagrin of the commentators, Jesus stops and kills the tree. Okay, this is the only destructive miracle Jesus does. Seems so out of character. Mark 11, verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Then they go on up to Jerusalem, go in the temple, and then the next day they come back and the tree is dead. It's withered from the roots. Now the scholars absolutely hate this miracle because it embarrasses them. There's one that actually wrote, this is why part of the reason he's not a Christian is because the way Jesus treated this poor tree. They actually read this as if Jesus were like a two-year-old having a tantrum because he didn't get the food he wanted. You know, that term, you've heard the popular term, hangry. People wouldn't get there. They're so hungry that they get irritable. You're on your way to McDonald's and you're just dreaming of an Egg McMuffin and you're thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to order. You get there and you order your stuff and then they're like, oh, we're serving lunch. Like, ah, and then you burn the McDonald's to the ground. They think that's what's happening here. That's how Mark is portraying Jesus, as being that irritable and responding like that. So they think Mark is just stopping right in the middle of a climactic moment about the temple and judgment and end time stuff and you're the new temple, all this stuff that Jesus is doing, and just randomly tells this story about Jesus being ridiculously irritable over not getting a fig. I just say, that blows my mind. The number of commentators that take it that way blows my mind. I read those commentaries, I'm like, it's like, really? I mean, given everything you know about Jesus, given everything you know about how Mark portrays Jesus, how the early church portrayed Jesus, you think they're going to portray it? This is a man who fasts for 40 days. I mean, this is a man who, with the woman at the well, he declined dinner. He was hungry, but he declined dinner because he was so concerned about the spiritual reality of ministry to this woman. You think a man like that is going to throw a fit over not getting a fig? Come on. And then the next day, when Peter asks about the killing of the tree, and Jesus responds by basically saying, hey, if you have faith in God, you'll be able to do the same kind of thing. Are we to believe that Jesus was promising Peter that if he had enough faith and he didn't doubt, then he would also be able to throw a fit when he didn't get breakfast on time? I mean, come on. These scholars, they have such brilliant minds. And once in a while, you wonder if their great learning has driven them mad. I mean, how can they think these kind of things? I don't know if they're projecting their own, selves into the historical Jesus or what, but what I do know is that Jesus was not a man governed by physical appetites. And yet, scholar after scholar ignores everything we know about Jesus and his character and everything we know about how Mark presents Jesus, and they just get all upset about what Jesus did to this poor, innocent tree. And actually use that language. It's literally use that language. The tree didn't deserve to be cursed. It was innocent. It wasn't even the season for figs. Jesus is out of line. It's not the tree's fault. And then some conservative commentaries come along and try to argue, well, the tree did kind of deserve it because, it advertised that it had fruit with the leaves, but it didn't really have. And I just think, man, come on. We need to come to our senses and realize it's a tree, right? A tree. Trees don't deserve anything. They don't deserve anything good. They don't deserve anything bad. They don't earn anything because they're not people. They're trees. They're not moral agents. They're wood. They're just piles of wood and leaves and sap. Seeing this tree didn't deserve to be cursed in this object lesson that Jesus is giving. It's like saying, you know, Ezekiel's garment didn't deserve to be torn in his object, or Jeremiah's belt didn't deserve to get left out in the weather and ruined. You know, poor belt, you know. I mean, prophets always did this. They very often used object lessons, and the object lessons are usually hard on the object. So what? Jesus miraculously took a bunch of wood with sap in it and turned it into wood with no sap in it. That's all that happened here. And he did it to make a point. What amazes me is that these scholars who criticized Jesus for using a tree to teach a point write those opinions on paper, which comes from trees that had to be killed in order to make that paper. Why is it okay for them to kill trees to communicate their message, but it's not okay for Jesus to kill a tree to communicate his much better message? Truth is, Jesus honored this tree. If you really want to come down to it, he did this tree a great honor because he took a worthless, fruitless tree and made it the most useful tree that ever grew. Because of this tree, countless people have learned priceless spiritual lessons. Jesus honored the tree. Not only that, but Jesus killing this tree was actually an act of mercy on the people of Jerusalem, because who deserved to be killed in that moment? People in Jerusalem, people in that temple, the chief priests and the rest. And instead he killed a tree so that they could learn from that and they could have another chance to repent. And so all that to just defend, this is a beautiful thing that Jesus did. There's nothing bad about Jesus cursing a tree. And there's nothing bad about Jesus using a tree as an object. For thousands of years, God commanded that animals be killed as object lessons to teach us about the ramifications of sin. Certainly it's okay to do the same with a tree. All right, so I just want to say that about the tree. And then one other thing, just as an aside, and this is really just off topic and it didn't fit anywhere in the messages, but I wanted to say it. I just wonder, when I read about how they came the next day and Peter saw that tree withered up and asked Jesus about it, because it looked like this old shriveled up tree. I wonder if some scientists came along that day and examined that tree, how old they would think the tree was, just from looking at it. I mean, I'm not talking about counting rings. I'm just saying, if they just look at the way the tree looked, and they tried to calculate the age of the tree, I just wonder what if their calculations might be off a little bit. Be wary of scientists who think they know how old things are just by how old they look, just by how old it appears. Now, someone will say, because I'm talking about the age of the earth here, and some people will say, oh, come on, that's not a good comparison. The tree was a special case. Why? Why is that? Well, because Jesus just cursed it. Okay. So you're saying if something has been cursed by God, it might end up having an appearance that looks a little older than it actually is? Because the whole creation was cursed, right? The whole creation was cursed, and there isn't a scientist alive who can even has the foggiest idea of what effect the curse of God has on the way rocks look. The next time someone wants to talk to you about science and they say they think the earth is a billion years old because of science, you ask them, you show me one peer-reviewed scientific study that tells me exactly what the effect of the curse of God is on the creation. You tell me what scientist knows that information and how they know it, and then I'll listen to you about that scientist's opinion on the age of the earth. Until then, I'm just going to trust what God says.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.